It's time for From the Short Grass with Trey Schaap, a golf podcast for those who love golf, struggle with golf, and just like to enjoy the outdoors and fellowship with friends, all while chasing a ball around trying to put it in a 4 1/4 inch diameter hole. From the Short Grass is brought to you by Stevens Incorporated, an independent financial services firm with the freedom to focus on what matters most. And by Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels. We partner with you to deliver high-yield results by managing, developing, and investing in top-quality hospitality assets. And now, from the Short Grass, here is your host, Trey Schaap.
I am so happy I got that shot up and down on 18. Oh, man. I didn't want to finish second again. PGA really stung. Xander played magnificent. I wanted to get this one done, especially at such a special place that means so much to me and SMU and my dad, what Payne meant to him. Thousandth USGA championship. I mean, just stack them on top. That bunker shot was the shot of my life. And I'll forever be thankful that I've got longer wedges so I can hit it farther and get it out and get it up there next to the hole. I don't know what to think. It fully hasn't sunk in yet, but I just want everybody to enjoy it as well. As much as it is heartbreak for some people, I mean, you know, it was heartbreak for me at the PGA, and I really wanted this one. And I turned the corner and saw I was a couple back, and I said, nope, I'm not going to let that happen. I need to focus on figuring out how to make this happen. And I was a little lucky. Rory didn't make a couple putts that he could have coming in. And I had an amazing up and down in the last. I don't know what else to say. It's a dream come true. For me, it was knowing how good my game is and how great of a place it's in, and just continuing to execute and knowing that it eventually, this statistics would hopefully fall my way. Still hope, you know, golf is, it's a game of luck. There's a lot of luck that has to happen and go your way out there. But I knew if I could give my 100% effort on every single shot, I'd give myself a good chance this week, just like I did at the PGA, just like I did at the Masters. And Rory's gonna do it. I'd love to have a lot more battles with him. It'd be a lot of fun. But, Rory's going to do it at some point.
Welcome to another edition of From the Short Grass. That was the voice of the 2024 U.S. Open champion, Bryson DeChambeau. Rounds of 67, 69, 67, and 71 have him hosting the U.S. Open trophy. Rory McIlroy finished second with rounds of 65, 72, 69, and 69. And it was that final round 69 for Rory that cost him the championship by missing two putts within 4 feet of the hole. Before his miss on 16 from 2.5 feet away from the cup, Rory McIlroy was 496 for 496 putting inside of 3 feet this season. Then he missed that one on 16 and followed it up on 18 by missing a short putt as well. Bryson DeChambeau getting up and down out of the bunker after his tee shot found a root left of the fairway on 18. Bryson DeChambeau, your 2024 U.S. Open champion. The layout of Pinehurst number 2 allows you down the stretch to see other holes, so the question was posed to Bryson DeChambeau. Was he watching Rory? Did he know what he was doing up ahead?
Trying to see where he was, almost on every hole since from 13 on in. I even saw it on 10 where he made birdie, and I'm like, oh, man, he's gunning. He's going for it. And so I had to put my foot on the pedal and push down pretty hard as well. So it definitely pushed me. Seeing him play and be ahead of me definitely allowed for me to focus a little bit more.
Bryson DeChambeau wins his second U.S. Open trophy at Pinehurst number 2, where 25 years ago Payne Stewart won the U.S. Open. Why the significance of Payne Stewart? Both Bryson and Payne Stewart attended SMU, were on the golf team there. They were Mustangs. Bryson DeChambeau used to wear the Payne Stewart-styled hat when he played. He's back to a regular golf hat now, but he had that hat attached to his golf bag as he played and walked the grounds of Pinehurst number 2. As I mentioned, Rory McIlroy finished second. Now, he didn't meet with the media after his round. He got out of there pretty quickly. Tony Finau and Patrick Cantlay finished tied for third at minus 4. Matthew Pavone finishes at minus 3. Hideki Matsuyama minus 2. Russell Henley and Xander Schauffele at minus 1. Only 8 players shot under par at this year's U.S. Open at Pinehurst number 2. Next year, it's to Oakmont Country Club. One player that attended both the Masters and U.S. Open trophy ceremonies is Neil Shipley, the amateur. He was the runner-up last year to Nick Dunlap at the USAM at Cherry Hills. That afforded him the opportunity to get an invitation into the Masters tournament and also qualified him for the U.S. Open. Well, he finished as the low amateur at Augusta National back in April and finished as the low amateur at Pinehurst number 2 in this year's U.S. Open. It's a feat that hadn't been done very often. He reflected on it when he was asked about it by the media.
Really honored to win the low amateur here, and especially at Pinehurst. It's a really special place, and just really excited about being in the ceremony later today.
Neil Shipley did join Bryson DeChambeau in that ceremony that Fred Perpall, you might have heard one of his episodes here on From the Short Grass, handed Bryson DeChambeau the U.S. Open Championship trophy after his win at Pinehurst number 2. Neil Shipley is an amateur no more. He is going to start making money by playing golf. He has turned professional. You might see him hosting a U.S. Open trophy soon or another major trophy. Neil Shipley has got some golf game. Coming up after the break, I sit down with former hockey star Marty Turco, the goaltender born in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario, Canada. He played 11 seasons in the National Hockey League. He played 9 of those with the Dallas Stars and then 1 season each with the Chicago Blackhawks and the Boston Bruins. Currently, he works in the Dallas Stars front office. The Dallas Stars won the Western Division this year but lost in the Western Conference Finals to the Edmonton Oilers. It was the second year in a row that the Stars have lost in the Western Conference Finals. Marty represented Team Canada at the 2005 World Championships when they won the silver medal. Turco played in 3 All-Star games. He and his wife Kelly have 2 daughters and a son. He still lives in the North Texas area, and he also is an analyst for the NHL Network. I think you're going to enjoy my interview with Marty Turco after the break. One little quick note, if you're ever flying through Dallas and Love Field, Turco has a bar there. Believe me, as many times as my wife and I have flown through the Dallas Love Field Airport, we know right where the Turco bar is. I think we have contributed handsomely to the college funds for his kids. That's the Marty Turco bar, located around gates 13, 15, 14 and 16, I believe, right there at Dallas Love Field. It's also a great place to people watch. Marty Turco coming up after the break. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group, Matthew Allen and Blair Allen. They know how to manage hotel properties. When you need an overnight place to stay, make sure you stay at a Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel property. I'm back with Marty Turco after this. Stay with us.
Strength is measured not by the number of accounts. Strength is placing value on relationships. It's having the vision and the guts to invest in growth. It's the commitment to responsibly manage your money. At Stevens, we believe that our strengths build success, not only for us, but for our clients. Stevens, member NYSE, SIPC.
Traveling to Fayetteville to watch a game? Forgot to book a room for the night? Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group has you covered. Stay where the real fans stay. Staybridge Suites is just south of Baum Walker Stadium and is an all-suite hotel within walking distance of Baum Walker, Bud Walton, Bogle Park, and Razorback Stadium. Or you could stay at the Comfort Inn and Suites with the newly remodeled rooms throughout the entire property. Find them on the web at bphotels.com. When you need an overnight place to stay anywhere in Arkansas, check out bphotels.com first. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels.
Welcome back to this edition of From the Shortgrass. I am your host, Trey Schapp. Marty Turco, who grew up in Canada, played his collegiate hockey at the University of Michigan, who at the time was a member of the Central Collegiate Hockey Association. Turco won two NCAA championships at Michigan. Turco won two NCAA championships at Michigan and was drafted in the fifth round of the 1994 NHL entry draft by the Dallas Stars. He went on to play for Michigan that fall. He earned many awards in his 4 years at Michigan, including Rookie of the Year in 1995, Tournament MVP in 1998, and nominations to the first All-Star team in 1997, the second All-Star team in 1998, and the All-Tournament team in 96 and 98. After graduating, Turco went to play for Dallas's International Hockey League affiliate, the Kalamazoo Wings. In 1999, he was named IHL Rookie of the Year. After 11 seasons in the NHL, nine of them in Dallas, Turco works for the Dallas Stars in their front office. And he loves the game of golf. One question you know I had to ask, do the golf clubs make the plane in the NHL? You'll have to wait and find out his answer in just a matter of minutes. On the tee, Marty Turco.
Marty, thanks for joining me on From the Shortgrass. I've got to ask you this question. What'd you do first, pick up a hockey stick or a golf club?
Oh, come on. You know what? I don't know. No, I should know. I don't remember picking up a hockey stick because I was 2 years old. So it's all hearsay for me. The first real golf club that I picked up was probably, what, seven that I remember. I was left-handed, like hockey. It was a two-wood. Didn't come with balls or tees. It was like a garage sale. And we just moved into a new house. Across the street was a park, pretty uneventful park, that I just had my three balls and would hit it back and forth. Sometimes I'd chunk it or whatever. And that was the first time. But my dad loved golf. He loved hockey. He loved baseball, too. He's a sports guy. And so, you know, in the 80s, we watched a lot of golf together. Spending time with my dad, and he was a right-handed guy. And so when I was a teenager, I'm probably 10, 11, 12, he thought I was hitting it pretty good. And he's like, hey, I bought some new clubs. You want to go to the big boy course? And I'm like, yeah. And he says, well, here's my old ones. Let me know when you're ready.
He got new clubs. You got the hand-me-downs.
And they're right-handed, and I was left-handed.
Oh, no. How did you deal with that?
Oh, I cursed, I'm pretty sure. And I'm like, if you don't want to play with me, just say so. You know, like, bastard. But anyway, I'm happy to this day. You know, I'm a goalie, so I'm not shooting pucks like the other guys. And I still putt left-handed. Today I might putt right-handed after the pro-ams. It's just a little off. But I love golf. I love the game.
Why do you love it?
Part of it's nostalgia, right? Just, you know, TV back then, and you only get a broadcast for 2 hours, and you only see the Masters for the back nine, And then I just love being outside. I love the sport. I love the camaraderie. You know, 3.5-4 hours with your buddies, family. Now my son plays. It's just so different as a sport because it's individual, and I play a team sport. But it's just great, you know. And even though I know I can hit shots, when you don't, you're like, it's still there. Go get it. I don't work hard enough at it, but I just think it's awesome. You know, you're outside. I probably play more hockey outside than I did inside. Which is saying something because I played a lot of hockey in my life with lights on. But being in Canada, we're just outside all the time, and I got an affliction for just nature. And so this is beautiful. These courses are getting almost too nice. You know, you see what Augusta used to look like to now, and you see what some courses used to look like till now. And I mean, they're so well manicured. This place here, Las Colinas, is in great shape. So
now, were you self-taught, or did your dad teach you, or did you take instruction from a pro?
No, self-taught. I've had two lessons in my life. I mean, outside of some you know, play with touring guys, sure. Leonard and whoever over the years. Brian Watts was really good, but just like nuances of the game. But Brian, Randy Smith gave me two lessons when I retired, so 10-ish years ago, and I just could not grasp what he was saying as a hockey player. It just seemed counterintuitive.
Yeah.
I'm like, Randy, it doesn't make sense. He goes, but the ball's going high with a slight draw. What's the problem? I'm like, because you're standing behind me. You're telling me what to do. And his biggest thing was like, listen, your hands are too good. Let's just eliminate your hands. And you got to rotate. And I just get, I mean, I say I get horny, but I like to pull the trigger. And if I couldn't stop the club, if I tried, I mean, I could if somebody, you know, was throwing something at me. But, I mean, like, I can't pause at the top. When yeah. I pause at the top, it feels like a second to me, but I'm already starting that transition. So that's where I get out of sequence. So self-taught. You know, when you're a kid, you create leverage by trial and error. And so I would just hood the crap out of ball in order to get distance. And that's how I learned to hook it. That's how I learned to chip. You know, you see people have spin on it. You want to have spin on it. And back, you know, when you had professionals and baladas and you know, when I started getting good, like the tough like stratas, there mm-hmm. you rip the cover off those things.
Yeah.
And back, we started getting muscles. Anyway, self-taught, and you can tell when you watch me. Had my hip replaced a year ago, and I'm still not back to using my legs for power. I mean, I probably don't know if I ever will at my age, but I think it will once I get everything back in alignment with self-taught, and I probably need some help, but I don't have enough time in the day.
So you're still busy.
Yeah, very busy. I've been with the Dallas Stars. I argue with this one security guy. I think I'm the longest tenured
employee.
It's hard to say employee because I was drafted by the Stars in 94. I wasn't working for them.
Right.
But I was a draft pick.
Because you went to college.
I've been in the organization since 1994, all but two of that. And then when I retired in 2012,
the 2 years you were in Boston,
Chicago,
and Boston, Chicago,
yeah. And then I came back here right for school year with our kids the next year, and I did some TV during that year for the Stars, and so whether that's a half year or not, and then Brad Alberts, you know, and our CEO who was out here yesterday playing, great golfer, Brad's like, hey, you know. So I were working for him just kind of as an ambassador. He's like, learn the business. My door is open. He was the chief revenue officer at the time. And Jimmy Lights is great. And he knew a lot of people in the organization. And so I did it. I learned a lot. Went to meetings. They kicked me out of a bunch that wasn't privy to. And then Brad asked me to work full time every year. And I said no. I wasn't ready family-wise. And then once the writing was on the wall that he'd be the boss, he did a reorg and had a really cool idea for me, and then it went full time. And most recently, though, I took a not the president of the foundation anymore. I'm the chairman, and still work with Brad on the business side, but less time in the office. And so I started a real estate gig with this place called Freestone Club, which will be everybody will hear about it over time. But it'll be a preeminent golf destination, but also a lake club here in Texas.
Oh, cool!
Yeah, really cool. Largest private lake in North America. So you can imagine people. Are calling like crazy. And yeah. Bo Welling's doing the golf course.
Oh, sweet.
14 holes on an island. So things are exciting. I like staying busy. I have kids. They need to know dad's working, not fluffing around. It's the way I grew up. And we're pumped. Got kids in college, one at home. Yeah, busy, and that's probably why my golf game is not as tidy as it should be.
I understand that. All right, what's harder, trying to stop a slap shot or a 5-foot putt downhill on greens that are rolling about 13 and a half?
Well, you know, it's a good one.
Maybe with a lot of traffic in front of you,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah. No, I like the traffic.
Okay.
Yeah. I like the traffic just if it's apples to apples and me and the other goalie in this position. No goalie likes traffic because you can't stop what you can't see. And I'm not the big guy, so I don't have the benefit of just blocking it. But I fought for that. And, you know, those downhillers, you could fight, but you still got to tap it and hope that hole catches it. So the downhill putt's definitely harder because it's hard to putt like slow, just nice tempo, you know. And then when you miss it, yeah. Slap shot was fun. I enjoyed it. People thought I was crazy. I am. But I absolutely love people ripping it at me.
when you are on the course, is it a chance for you to just get away from everything else, the stresses of life, and just get out there with your buddies and friends and enjoy it?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, almost to a T. My wife knows where I'm at. Love lining up putts. I love the banter. You know, always something on it. Could be small. Just, you know, just have a game. You always have a game. And, I mean, this is a beautiful piece of nature. And we don't, what I start to appreciate more is those 62-85 wheelhouse days when the sun's out and you don't have to worry about weather. You don't have to worry about bringing clothes and changing. Like, we're just very fortunate. Texas is great. I mean, we got seasons, but, you know, like, you see it. This yesterday was 88. Sunday might be, you know, might not get out of the 50s. And so it's just a great game. And I just do love getting away. And so it forces you to take care of business, whatever that is, before you get to the course. And I know I got about 4 emails to write and a few texts so I can get out there and just concentrate.
During the season, were you ever allowed to travel with your clubs? I mean,
oh, yeah.
Maybe play on off days?
Oh, yeah.
What was that like?
We were in the Pacific Division.
Yeah.
Our team's now in the Central. And so Morrow and I, and others, but we were the two ringleaders. We did. And now Sudgy's retired, so I can throw him under the bus. Our equipment manager would show up in Dallas. Somehow the clubs from our cars made it onto the plane, somehow made it into a back of a town car after off-day practice at whatever rink, practice facility, or the main one. And then we'd come home, and the tricky part was, or go back to the hotel, the tricky part was giving it to the bellhop to store, getting the tag and giving it back to Sudsy, and no one noticing that. That was the only flaw in the system. There's really nothing we could do. We could have, like, we could have hit it better, but...
Did you ever get noticed?
Yeah, unfortunately, we got noticed one time.
Uh-oh.
I mean, they didn't care then, but they're like, just don't make it obvious. And then the last GM we had, also a teammate of mine, the big screw-up, it was, I don't think it was anybody's fault. So we had two cargo departments on the plane, one in the front, one in the back. We obviously traveled really heavy with the trunks, and I was still on the plane, and Morrow was getting off early, and the conveyor belt was coming out for all the bags, and I'm sitting there just looking out the window, finishing the game of cards or whatever, packing up, and I saw the golf clubs come down the conveyor belt. And we're all standing around just to grab usually we grab our own luggage. Obviously, we don't touch equipment. Morrow looked at me, and I was like, oh, God. And, you know, that's it right there, right? You just see clubs on a golf trip are here to win hockey games. And now I put an end to it, so... Current guys, there's no chance in heck that the current guys would, but we counted it 1 year. The NHL wanted to create rivalries, so they played 4 games home and away. So we had 8 games against our rivals,
yeah,
against our division. Phoenix, LA, Anaheim, San Jose. We counted 57 of our 82 games were either in Arizona or Texas.
Or
California.
Perfect golfing weather.
All year. And then never mind the bookends. You know, you could play golf in October in Chicago and up north and or April.
Sure.
Usually by the playoff times, we wouldn't bring our clubs. But, man.
Because that's when it got real.
That's when, you know, what happens if I twinge my back or, you know, it's amazing. It's not tiring now, golf. I mean, it still is because you're outside and fresh air. But when you're playing, like, you notice it a little bit. Your energy level just drops a little bit. So, you know, 2 less beers and an extra hour of sleep should cut up. But, man, we play Bel Air and, man, I mean, San Jose was, we played one where they had the tour stop there for a while. Anyway, we got around. Phoenix, you know, we playing Whisper Rock and Estancia and whatever. We were spoiled. We had a lot of cool friends, and they took care of us on the road, and we take care of them. Go watch hockey games.
Best course you've ever played?
Augusta National.
What'd you shoot?
Shot 80 the first time, and then if we broke 80, we were going to go back to the back tees, but we didn't. And then I think I shot high 70s, but I just didn't have a great day. It's tricky, but it's fun, and it was a blast, so I'm forever indebted for doing that one.
Yeah, still Augusta National. That's nice. All right, last question. Fantasy foursome, living or deceased, you and 3 others you would like to play a round of golf with, who would they be?
No, that's a great one. I mean, I grew up in Tiger and I are the same age. I mean, just to met him a few times, but he's the best of all time. You know, I think, you know, Bobby Jones, just to hear about why amateur golf. I mean, I know why, but it was a different time, the majors and all that. It'd be neat. And then I'd probably bring my dad since he wanted to introduce me to the game so he can enjoy it as much as I did.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Marty, thanks so much for the time.
Yeah, you know what? Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Appreciate it, buddy.
Heading to El Dorado to check out some live music or to play Mystic Creek? Stay at the Haywood, the only boutique hotel in the middle of downtown and the Murphy Arts District. If you are spending a weekend in Hot Springs, make plans now at the Marriott Courtyard close to Lake Hamilton and Oaklawn. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group manages both of these fine properties, and you will rest easy knowing that your every need is taken care of. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels on the web at bphotels.com.
At Stevens, our philosophy is to invest every dollar as if it were our own. To seize opportunity. To anticipate rather than react. To deliver constant focus in an ever-changing world. And to pursue the objectives of our clients in order to help them reach their financial goals. A proven history of helping companies and individuals. Stevens, member NYSE SIPC.
Welcome back to this edition of From the Short Grass. The next major, July 14th through the 21st, Royal Troon will host the Open Championship. Royal Troon's old course was founded in 1878, expanded to 18 holes 10 years later, and redesigned by five-time champion golfer James Braid ahead of its first Open in 1923. It will be hosting its 10th Open in 2024. It is designed in the traditional out-and-back manner of the old course at St. Andrews. Troon's test begins with a gentle opening through some of the most striking links land to be found at any of the Open venues and concludes with a back nine as tough as any finish in the world, according to the Open website. Troon most recently staged the championship in 2016, when Henrik Stenson prevailed in a duel with Phil Mickelson. It is Henrik Stenson's only major championship to date. Brian Harman is the Open defending champion. Can he win again? Will Scottie Scheffler, Xander Schauffele, or Bryson DeChambeau win their second major in a calendar year by winning at Royal Troon? We'll have to wait and find out. Next year, the 153rd Open goes to Royal Portrush, and then the 154th in 2026 will be hosted by Royal Birkdale. There's one thing about golf in Scotland this time of the year. It is fantastic, and you never know what will happen with the weather. But we will definitely tune in to the Open Championship the week of the 14th through the 21st of July. If you've missed any episodes of From the Shortgrass, you can find us wherever you get your podcast. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcast. We're on Amazon Podcast as well. Amazon Music, Amazon Podcast, YouTube. We've got a YouTube channel. All you have to do is search From the Shortgrass, and it'll take you to our podcast links. Whatever podcast platform you prefer, believe me, From the Shortgrass is there. I hope you enjoy each and every episode. And if you'd like to send us an email, you can do that as well. FromTheShortgrass@gmail.com. That's the easiest way to get in touch with us. That's it for this edition of From the Shortgrass. I want to thank Marty Turco for spending time with me down in Dallas at the Invited Celebrity Classic and sitting down to talk golf with me. I hope you enjoyed that interview. Remember, when you find your ball mark on the green, fix it and a couple of more. You're always good to take care of the golf course that gives you so much in return. I hope to see you sometime soon from the short grass.
You've been listening to From the Short Grass, a weekly podcast dedicated to the game of golf. This has been a presentation of the Buzz Radio Network.